America and the World. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined in the last hour and for the next hour by Ray McGovern of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. You can find Ray's archive at antiwar.com. For 27 years, he was in the CIA and was helping to prepare the national intelligence estimates for the president. Ray, with all the things we've been talking about, the last time we were chatting before all these breaks, you were speaking about your recent trip to Israel and to East Jerusalem. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, well, I had not spent any length of time there, Mark, before this, but I certainly got a good exposure to people working for justice on both sides of that line. And one must recall now that that when Israel started the 1967 war, and please, please, no one dispute who started that war. Israeli Prime Minister admitted Israel started that war a good 25 years ago. And when they started that war and occupied the West Bank, Golan, and Gaza, and other territories which they've since returned, that was 40 years ago. Now, that's as long as the Soviet Union occupied Eastern Europe. I used to be a Soviet specialist in my first incarnation. That's a long time. And what has happened? Well, little by little, with our money, which is the shameless thing, with money from us U.S. taxpayers, the Israeli government has been able to settle the West Bank, has been able to take the Golan and put settlements up there as well, creating, as this phrase goes, facts on the ground, so they will never, ever be forced out of those areas. Meanwhile, the Palestinians, there are still 4 million left occupied territories, not to mention the 2 or 3 million in the diaspora around the Middle East. These people are being squeezed out of existence. The ones who have any money at all have long since left. The ones left are having their olive trees cut down, are having their access to their own farms blocked, and a terrific wall. I mean, what a symbol, a wall being built around all the Palestinian areas to keep them away from the Jewish settlers. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. For those who don't remember the establishment of the Berlin War, the wall, or the you know, Checkpoint Charlie. Well, we used to talk about Checkpoint Charlie. Well, there are hundreds of checkpoints now, and they're just like Checkpoint Charlie, except even more stringent. So it was quite an eye-opener, and I guess I'll just finish by referring back to what I was going to say about this settler that condescended to talk to our delegation. And he was a very religious person, of course, and came to settle for what he described as religious reasons. And he said, you know, it's really very simple. Deuteronomy 15:4 gives us the land. And not only that, but it's throughout the complete Hebrew scriptures and the Bible. That's our land. That was the promised land, you know. And so just look at Deuteronomy 15:4. What it says is God will bless you abundantly in the land that he will give you to occupy as your heritage. It's right there, you know. Well, I looked at Deuteronomy 15:4. And guess what? Yeah, it says that, but it's in a subordinate clause. You know what the main clause says? There shall be no poor among you. And what I saw in occupied territories was very, very distressing, because there is impoverishment to the nth degree.
We'll be back with Ray McGovern. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find the Ray McGovern archives at antiwar.com.
Considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest here in the show's first 2 hours is Ray McGovern, member of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, or VIPS. You can find Ray's archive at antiwar.com. He also has a very, very important article that is out there with Alternet talking about whether or not we can expect George W. Bush and the Bush administration to attack Iran. We've been chatting with Ray a little bit in the last few minutes of the broadcast about Palestine and about America's foreign policy in that region of the world. He makes a number of interesting points. One is that in 1948, 750,000 Palestinians were forcibly removed from their property. Of course, we could also talk about the role of the Israeli intelligence community and some of the things that it was doing at that time through the Irgun and Stern gangs, and the whole tragedy of what happened at Deir Yassin as well as elsewhere. Ray also makes the point that there are approximately 4 million Palestinians living under present occupation. There are thought to be an additional 3 to 4 million living in diaspora. That's another thing that we need to underscore this morning in our conversations with Ray. And then I wanted to zero in on a couple of things with him as long as we're talking about Palestine and this question of Israel and the Palestinians. Ray, in 1967, you indicate that, of course, Israel started this so-called Six-Day War that has been confirmed as of 25 years ago by the statements of an Israeli prime minister or foreign minister. I believe you said prime minister. This whole question of the June 8th, 1967 attack by Israel on the USS Liberty, this American intelligence vessel that was in the Eastern Mediterranean at the time in international waters. A lot of controversy about this over the years, but I understand from some of the USS Liberty survivors who've been on this show that they are absolutely convinced, based upon what they saw that day, that Israel attacked them deliberately. That ended up being the verdict of Admiral Moore and Dean Rusk and Richard Helms, among others. And yet, of course, Israel continues to deny that there was any deliberate intent on their part, that it was all a mistake. Ray, you were in the American intelligence community at that time, and without asking you to betray your intelligence oath, can you tell us in general terms what you think was behind this Israeli attack on the USS Liberty and what it means?
Well, surely, and I can do so quite freely, Mark, without betraying any oaths to secrecy. It's all out there for anybody who's interested in reading the history of this. One of the best books is written by James Bamford. I'll remember its title in a second, but it has something to do with
Body of Secrets,
that's
I think.
It, Body of Secrets.
Yes.
Now, it's not just the likes of the survivors of the USS Liberty or or Richard Helms. It's now proven by intercepted Israeli communications, that the government of Israel, that is Moshe Dayan, who was defense minister, knew exactly what the USS Liberty was, determined to sink it without any survivors, and deliberately sent fighter bombers and later torpedo attack boats to do precisely that. The only reason they didn't persist was that at one point the commander of the 6th Fleet sent some fighter bombers to do battle with whoever it was that was attacking one of his ships. So that is not in dispute. In other words, it was done by the Israelis. Number two, it was done deliberately by the Israelis. And number three, is not established beyond any reasonable doubt. Number three has to do with why. Why would the Israelis deliberately attack a U.S. intelligence collection ship? And there are two main theories on that. And again, no one pretends to infallibility on this one. But the one that makes most sense to me is that we're 3 days into the war, okay? The war started on June 5. Here we are June 8th. The Israelis had sent three columns of tanks into the Sinai and wrapped up a whole bunch of Egyptian prisoners. They took about 1,000 of them to El Arish on the Mediterranean coast in the Sinai. And, you know, it's kind of a real bother to have a bunch of prisoners. And so by Israeli journalists' eyewitness account, the Israelis bunched them up into groups of about 40, had them dig their own graves, shot them, buried them. Now, you can't do this kind of thing without getting permission from higher headquarters and chatting on interceptable communications. They looked out at the Mediterranean, and there was the USS Liberty stacked all over with antennae, 13 miles off coast in international waters, but well within range of picking up all these communications. That's when the messages went back to the Ministry of Defense in Tel Aviv. The Israeli Navy already knew the USS Liberty was there. And the torpedo boats were dispatched first because it takes them longer than the fighter bombers. And we have, from eyewitness accounts, the surviving crew, for example, exactly what happened. Americans should realize that 34 U.S. sailors were killed, 171 U.S. sailors were wounded, and the U.S. government, both the executive and the Congress and the military, deliberately covered up for the deliberate Israeli act. We know this most recently from the Navy lawyer who was ordered to make it look like just one terrible mistake. His name is Ward Boston. He's about to meet his maker. He's even older than I am, and he's come clean with testimony indicating that despite his better intentions, he acquiesced in the order to falsify the record. Well, you know, this is pretty bad stuff because it indicates that there are no limits to what the Israelis feel, at least these right-wing Israelis feel they can do. Because, you know, in a word, I think that demonstrates that at least as early as 1967, the Israeli government realized, came to the conclusion, that they could literally get away with murder, and the U.S. Congress and the U.S. executive would do nothing about it. Sort of footnote to this, sort of an illustrative detail, Captain McGonagall, who shepherded this ship, badly wounded as he was, back to Malta under its own power, was given, or they wanted to give him the Medal of Honor, but they couldn't do that outright. Guess who they had to check with first? Well, the State Department checked with the Israeli embassy and said, would you be offended if we gave Captain McGonagall of the USS Liberty a Medal of Honor? And graciously, the Israelis said, no, go ahead. The ceremony was held not in the White House, mind you, but on the shore of the stinking Anacostia River, where the small little U.S. naval base exists in Washington, D.C.
I've been there.
Yeah. You know, I had a personal... I was speaking in Springfield, Missouri about this time last year, and I was talking about Mearsheimer and Walt's book. People had raised that with me, and I said, you know, it's an incredible insight into the Israel lobby. In my opinion, it overstates the Israeli factor with respect to getting us involved in Iraq. I think it was a factor, but not the only factor, as Mearsheimer and Waltz sort of suggest. But the thing that struck me most was that although this was a description of the power of the Israel lobby, not once is mentioned the USS Liberty. And I looked out at these 300 people, and, you know, blank stares, and I said, well, how many know about the USS Liberty? And three people raised their hands, so I called the gentleman closest to me, and I said, now, could you explain how you know about that? He stood up ramrod straight and said, sir, Bryce Lockwood, U.S. Marines, member of the USS Liberty crew, sir. Wow. I mean,
wow.
You could hear a pin drop, and I said, well, Mr. Lockwood, would you feel free to come up and explain what happened on that day? Sir, it's been 40 years. I have not been able to do that so far, but I would like to try tonight, sir. He came up and for the next 10 minutes gave a first-hand account of what his job was there, how he was able to escape. He was actually behind the bulwark bringing sensitive cryptological material out to drop over the edge so that no one could acquire it. And his friends were all killed in this NSA little unit there where they were monitoring the conversations. At one point, he talked about finding his best friend still alive. Out of the 24, there were 20 killed. His best friend was, he grabbed him by the wrist, you know, and somebody closed the hatch. So he got the hatch open, and he was pulling it, and oops, his friend slipped out of his grasp, floated out to sea through the gaping hole made by the Israeli torpedo. And small wonder that Bryce Lockwood has not been able to talk much about that day on June 8th, 1967.
Yes, and as I hear about some of these accounts, and what you're relating, Ray, is the latest information for me on this. I listen to these things, and frankly, I must say it does beg the question as to how much power the Israeli lobby has, because in this circumstance, we're not dealing with the murder of Palestinians or their forcible incarceration or their disenfranchisement. That's bad enough, and certainly on its own is a great, massive moral atrocity. But in the instance of the 1967 thing with the USS Liberty, we're talking about the deaths of American citizens, and the fact that Israel could successfully pull this off and cover it up with the connivance of the American government suggests that Israel's control of American foreign policy is still an issue now. We'll be back with Ray McGovern. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Ray McGovern of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, or VIPS. You can find the Ray McGovern archive at antiwar.com. And, of course, at 9 o'clock this morning, Hesham Talawi will join me to discuss his most recent trip to Palestine. Ray, getting into a couple of other items this morning with you in the time that we have left in the broadcast, your segment of it, I wanted to ask you, as someone who has been involved in the production of these national intelligence estimates for the president, what is the process behind that final product? How often do these NIE estimates come out? What agencies are involved in the production of those estimates? And based upon all these things we've been reading about in recent years involving bad intelligence or doctored intelligence, whatever the case may be, what are we as average American citizens to make of these national intelligence estimates and how trustworthy they are?
Well, that's a really good question, of course, Mark. And the trustworthiness has to do with integrity and courage. And I really have to bemoan the fact publicly that those two attributes have been markedly absent at the very top of the Central Intelligence Agency for 25 years now. 25 years. The last head of the CIA with any integrity was Admiral Turner, who was the DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, under President Jimmy Carter. It's a rather dire situation here, and the upshot from Iraq is perhaps the most illustrative. George Tenet was really just a lackey for the Bush regime. He saw his job as making it easier for George Bush and his neocon friends to do what they wanted to do. And so, you know, it's really an important five-year anniversary we just passed 2 days ago, Mark, and that is the anniversary of Dick Cheney's preemptive speech, in which he said, Iraq has all manner of weapons of mass destruction. It's very close to a nuclear weapon. UN inspections aren't worth a darn. They just give you a false sense of security. We have to take care of this. Now, that was the 26th of August, 2002, while everybody else was still on vacation. It was a preemptive move. It succeeded. And when George Tenet was told, well, Congress wants an estimate, wants an NIE, a National Intelligence Estimate, on Iraq and its weapons of mass destruction before they will be required to vote on this, to vote to approve a war, womp one up. But George, make sure that it adheres to what the Vice President said in his main speech on the 26th of August. And to his incredible discredit, George Tenet saluted, went back, and assembled his senior managers, who, to their discredit, said, no problem, we can serve one up in 3 weeks, and out of that process issued the very worst national intelligence estimate produced by any government, really, since it pandered so clearly to the administration's interests. The only one rivaling it in being wrong was the one we did in September of 1962, where we very confidently assured the president that the Soviets would never, never, ever take the chance of trying to put missiles into Cuba.
Yes, right.
Now, that was wrong, flat wrong. But there's a big difference here, Mark. That was a mistake. This one in Iraq was no mistake. It was cooked up to justify an unjustifiable war. Now, that's history. What's going on now? Well, to his credit, John Negroponte, when he became this new director of national intelligence, picked one of the best people in the intelligence community to run estimates. His name is Tom Finger. He did not come out of the CIA. He came out of the State Department. And as most of you know, the State Department demurred. The State Department took footnotes about some of these decisions by Cheney. Tom Finger had a pretty good record so far within the limits of his capability. The estimates such as we know about, that is, the ones that have been, I won't say leaked, I will say the ones that have been released to the press by patriotic truth tellers, okay, the ones on Iraq, even the one on Iran more than 2 years ago, which said Iran could not possibly have a nuclear weapon until at the earliest, early to mid next decade, okay? Now, that was 2.5 years ago that estimate was prepared. So it takes the wind out of the sails of people like Cheney, who threatened that Iran is just on the verge of having a nuclear weapon, and we have to zap it, okay? And the curious thing, Mark, and almost nobody knows this, is that a fresh estimate, an update of that estimate on Iran nuclear, has been waiting in the wings since February.
Ray, hold that thought. Sure. We'll be right back to it. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Ray McGovern, a veteran intelligence professionals for sanity. You can find Ray's archive at antiwar.com. We'll be back.
Your You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Ray McGovern of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray's been with us for the last, about the last hour and a half now. He'll be on for another 30 minutes. And then Hesham Talabi will join me to talk about his most recent trip to Palestine. Ray, we were talking about this whole business of the national intelligence estimates process and the way in which your judgment your judgment indicates that the NIE process is now fatally flawed because we are dealing with people who are not in the business of making honest mistakes, but in recent years have been about the business of actually cooking up intelligence fraudulently to support a false, deliberately false rationale for war. That is a frightening, frightening statement coming from a person of your credentials and stability. Now we take that model and apply it as you've been applying it before the last commercial break to this whole situation with Iran. Are we now looking at a situation with the same process that gave us fraudulent intelligence in the run-up to the American invasion of Iraq in March of 2003 is now being applied to the Iranian nuclear situation to promote a false rationale for attacking those people.
Mark, I'm afraid that's a great justifiable concern. The only fly in the ointment to these plans, the only saving grace from my perspective, is this fellow Tom Finger, who is the deputy for the National Intelligence Director for estimates. And as I say, his record is quite good. I mean, he has said on numerous occasions in NIEs that Iraq is headed to hell in a handbasket. Now, he didn't use those exact words, but the import is very clear. The NIE that was produced in January of this year offered no support at all for the notion that a surge might help in any way at all. The president made that decision irrespective of the NIE. As a matter of fact, he delayed the appearance of the NIE until he had made the decision to surge. Now, let's talk about Iran. Well, the Iranian estimate has been ready since February. Let's see, what is it? August now?
6 months.
That's a half a year. Where is it? Where is it? Well, it was sent back for rewrite in March, and then they need to take another look at it in May. And my friends tell me now that it may be out in September. What's the rub? The rub is it comes to the wrong conclusions. It says that Iran is no closer to a nuclear weapon than it was 2.5 years ago. They still predict, well, maybe early to mid next decade. Is that what Dick Cheney is saying? In no way is that what Dick Cheney is saying. And so Dick Cheney has been successful in sending it back to rewrite. Think this over again, you guys, like you did Iraq. Come up with the right answer, then we'll produce the estimate. It's really pretty unconscionable. So, in a word, Tom Finger is trying to do his best, but he can't force things. He can't even force the publication of these things. And I must say that on occasion, he has been forced to do things that he really had ethical problems with. One example, the estimate on Iraq, January of this year, he was forced to have his analysts address just one contingency, and that was the red herring of precipitous withdrawal. In the estimate, they called it rapid withdrawal. And when he was before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and was asked by one of the senators, tell me, Mr. Finger, why is it that you addressed precipitous withdrawal, but you didn't address the option of orderly withdrawal? And I really felt sorry for the man. You know, there was no explanation. In effect, he said, I was forced to look at that and only that eventuality. So, you know, when we have Senator John Warner, for example, saying, we can't have a disorderly withdrawal. Well, you know, I haven't, maybe I've missed something. But have you seen, Mark, anybody appealing for a precipitous or a disorderly withdrawal? It's a red herring, pure and simple. And my point is that even in this otherwise honest estimate, Tom Finger was forced by policymakers to explore this option and only this option and not the other ones.
Well, let's say, Ray, against all of our hopes and dreams and prayers, that Cheney and the neocons get their way and that the United States utilizes an event, possibly even a false flag incident. The possibility of that is something I'd like you to comment on as well, by the way. But let's say that one way or the other, there is an event that takes place either in Baghdad or in Iran or in the Persian Gulf or in this country or Europe that Bush and Cheney use as a justification for war. And let's say that the war then proceeds to include the utilization of tactical nuclear weapons against Iranian nuclear sites. Now, I've read a lot of varying estimates as to how many sites we're talking about. Most of them, most of the ones I've read seem to think between 12 and 20, although I've seen the figures go as high as 400. Names like Isfahan and Natanz and Arak and A-R-A-K, Arak and Tehran are the ones most often mentioned. Let's say that tactical nuclear weapons are utilized by the Bush administration and or Israel against those sites. What do you think will be the military fallout, the environmental fallout? What kinds of civilian casualties in Iran are we talking about? And what will be the political blowback from this? If you had to give us, as somebody who's been involved with this at the highest levels of the CIA for over 27 years, if this transpires, what would you guess would be the best estimate of all of the different ramifications of this that will ensue?
Well, Mark, it's sort of hard to contemplate. It really would be chaos. It would be bedlam. One of my first thoughts here, of course, is where is the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics when we need it?
Yes.
Who would have thought that we would be looking back nostalgically at a balance of power in this world which acted as a brake, as a disincentive on the crazies in our country from doing really stupid things, okay?
Now, yes.
I mention this not wholly in jest because I am morally certain that Putin and his new allies in China, and I use that phrase advisedly, you know, they've teamed up against us together with others. I'm sure that they're telling this White House, don't even think of it. Don't go there. Don't think, number one, of an air attack on Iran, and number two, of course, don't think about tactical nuclear weapons. So in other words, I think that there is a reasonable prospect that some sober heads left in this administration, if there are any, will say, well, you know, do we really want to get involved not only with Iran, but possibly with the Soviet Union and China, who are, of course, in position to cause trouble for us? What are we going to do if China threatens Taiwan? What are we going to do if the North Koreans do something untoward on the peninsula there? We have no troops. This president had destroyed our Army and Marine Corps. So, you know, what I would suggest is that you kind of take a look at the joint piece that we did with Dr. Justin Frank. It's on consortiumnews.com.
Already.
Anti-war also carried it. But we go into these questions to include the possibility of something like a false flag operation. Now, what I've just mentioned about the USS Liberty incident should give people pause enough to realize that false flag things can happen and they can be planned. And when Dick Cheney says, as he did on Inauguration Day 2005, in a radio interview with Imus in the Morning, of all people, Imus says, well, what if the Israelis move on their own to take out the Iranian nuclear potential? And what does Cheney say? And nonchalantly sits back as, yeah, they might do that. And then, you know, we'd be left to pick up the pieces. Well, we surely would be if that's the attitude. If that's the attitude that prevails here, there is a very good chance that Dick Cheney will give a little green light wink to the Israelis. They will start taking out, as they would put it, the Iranian nuclear potential. They'll not succeed in doing it all, and they will mousetrap us into another ill-advised war. That's my major concern. It's I think, a real concern. How I would judge the percentages, I would say that they're at least 50% at this time. Why? Well, one thing that people never mention, because it's not, you know, it's not to be introduced into polite conversation, is the fact that General Brent Scowcroft, who was the National Security Advisor to the first President Bush and served as the chief, the head of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board under the second President Bush, said 3 years ago, and I quote, Ariel Sharon has this president wrapped around his little finger. He has him mesmerized. Now, that's a direct quote. Why would Scowcroft, the quintessential bureaucrat, the person who never would say anything he didn't mean to say to the press, why would he do it? Well, because he wanted us to know. He wanted us to know how bad it's gotten. He was canned, of course. He's no longer chief of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, and he's persona non grata in the White House. But tell the truth, and this bothers me greatly because it does serve as a psychological indicator as to what this president is capable of, being aided and abetted by the likes of Dick Cheney, Elliot Abrams, and other neocons.
Are you aware of a single contrarian voice in the Bush administration that the president does at least formally hear, physically hear, if not process the information as being told?
No.
Who is there's absolutely not even one.
No. I mean, that's an easy one to answer. And I would just suggest that what we veteran intelligence professionals for Sanity said in our very first memo, which was written the afternoon of Colin Powell's speech, what we said to the president in our final paragraph, and I'll quote it. We said, Mr. President, we strongly advise you to broaden the circle of your advisors beyond those who are clearly bent on a war for which we see no compelling reason and from which we believe the unintended consequences are likely to be catastrophic. End quote. Welcome to catastrophe. Did he listen? Of course not. Did he broaden his circle of advisors? Well, he's not even got Colin Powell around anymore, who, you know, for whatever he was worth, at least knew something about the world. What he's got? He doesn't even have Karl Rove around. And, you know, I hate to cite Karl Rove, but at least he knew which end is up, and he knew what a political disaster it would be for this president to start a war with Iran. And I suspect, and this is just a suspicion, a speculation, that that is one of the reasons why Karl Rove and Tony Snow, I mean, you know, Snow jobs are you know, terrific in the past, but I don't think Tony relished the notion of trying to explain to all of us why it's necessary to start a war with Iran.
And it sure seems to me that when we look at the Rove and Gonzalez departures, just as the latest ones in the Bush administration, one can make a case for the fact that a lot of people are trying to get out of Dodge.
Well, of course, Gonzalez had to get out of Dodge.
Yes.
And I just, you know, I keep looking on the web this morning to see an announcement that is as his parting shot, that he's closing down the Free Press and the Nation magazine. And if that happens, folks, tune in to consortiumnews.com. And as long as they don't sabotage that website, which is run by Robert Perry, quintessential investigative reporter, you'll be able to get some of the untailored facts.
Yes, and I find as one who is on the Taft-Buchanan right, the old Republican right, that there's an awful lot that Robert Perry puts out there at consortiumnews.com that I frankly agree with. And interestingly enough, in foreign policy, when I'm reading The Nation, which I do take a look at, lo and behold, there are things that appear there that I think are far sounder than anything going on in the neocon press. And this leads me to something, Ray, that you might be able to address or may feel like addressing. When I look at the so-called conservative media, Buchanan's The American Conservative stands out as an exception to this, but when I look at National Review, Human Events, the Weekly Standard, Bill Kristol's Weekly Standard, and Fox News, just to name those right off the top of my head, it seems to me that with the exception of what Buchanan is doing with The American Conservative, that most of these other outlets that are identified in the public mind with the American conservative movement are laced with this neoconservative emphasis. This is a little bit frightening to me because I think the real American right has been hijacked in the process, and I don't think that good, sound journalism and free exchange of ideas has been well served by this either.
Well, I agree, and I have to point out that, like most of my veteran intelligence professional colleagues, I am a conservative. I feel very, very strongly about the Constitution of the United States, which, as an Army officer, I took a solemn oath to protect and defend. And what I see going on with the capturing of the press by not conservatives, I really resent, Mark, the label that they've chosen, neoconservative. They are conservative in no way. They are reckless people, radical people. When I see that happening, and when I see not only that, but Mark, what we're talking about is people like the ones who run the editorial section of the Pravda. Well, it is the Pravda of the White House. It's called the Washington Post. And if you want to see a sea change, just look at what the Washington Post was during Watergate when it succeeded almost single-handedly in getting rid of a corrupt president. And what it is now. And that's really why I wrote that most recent piece, when I saw that the Washington Post had come out with an editorial resembling the pre-Iraq War editorials, which says that Iran is killing U.S. servicemen, Iran is prolonging the war in Iraq, Iran is nearing a nuclear capability. Well, at the very least, as the Post puts it, the very least we can do at this point is slap on very, very stringent sanctions, and we have to do more. Well, when the White House Pravda, the Washington Post editorial section, comes out with that, that is very, very troubling indeed, because that's exactly the role they played in cheerleading for an unnecessary, unconscionable war in Iraq, which has resulted not only in about 4,000 U.S. servicemen being killed, but over a million Iraqis.
Yes. We'll be back with Ray McGovern, a veteran intelligence professional for Sanity, when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and then Hesham Talawi will join us at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the final minutes of our conversation with Ray McGovern this morning before Hesham Talawi comes on. Ray McGovern is the head of, or is involved with Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity in Washington. You can find the Ray McGovern archives at antiwar.com. And, of course, his new piece for Alternet is entitled Are Bush and Company Gearing Up to Attack Iran? And taking Ray's advice with great care and great respect for everything that he says, take a look, folks, ongoingly at consortiumnews.com. That's Robert Perry's site, P-A-R-R-Y. I look at that with some frequency and find the information there to be really thought-provoking and insightful and containing great depth. That's Robert Perry's consortiumnews.com. I'm reminded today in my conversation with Ray McGovern of something that Philip Giraldi shared with me quite some time ago. I had been contacted by some Iranian expatriates in Los Angeles who wanted to know about Kenneth R. Timmerman of the Washington Times and the Washington Times Inside of the News. Timmerman was trying to get all of them to come to a conference in Paris. I, of course, recognize that Kenneth R. Timmerman is a neoconservative. I learned from Philip Giraldi of Pat Buchanan's American Conservative, who is also a member of the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, that among other things, Timmerman at one time was the editor of a newsletter in Paris, France, that was being financed by the Israeli Mossad. I think that says something about journalism, folks. I think it says something about foreign policy in this country. The point is that we need to be aware of what's going on with some of these people and who their associations are and where their sources of funding are coming from and how that impacts the particular slant that they give the news and that they give to the rest of us in regard to the news. Ray, in the last minute that we have here with your segment, tell us about Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Can people support the organization?
Reading what we write, and normally it's available on one or another website. You can simply Google us. We don't need any money because despite the best efforts of the Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee last year, we still are able to have our pensions, in my case, for 27 years of government service. So just read everything you can, form your opinions, and then don't sit on your duff. Get out there and do something about it. Mark, I'd like to just add one thing here for a little balance. I'm afraid I had this terrible impression coming back from Israel and the occupied territories about what's happening to the Palestinian people, and that is accurate enough. The question that is always begged is, what makes the Israeli people so fearful? What makes them think that they have to do this all by themselves and they have to rely on armed force to do it? Well, if you read something like No Ordinary Time, Doris Kearns Goodwin's book, you'll see that in the early stages of World War II, boatloads of Israelis, of Jewish people from Europe were turned away at our shores, sent back to certain death. That leaves an impression. And it leaves the impression that, you know, we've got to do this by ourselves. We can depend on no one, not even the Americans. That's an interesting and important fact to keep in mind.
The psychological factors involved in that, very much so, sir. Ray McGovern, I'd like to thank you for being on Mark Dankos America. Ray is with the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, or VIPS. You can find its archive at antiwar.com. And my tech here at RBN tells me that Dr. Talawi is ready to go. We'll bring him up this morning to talk about his recent trip to Palestine. Stay tuned.
With recent